Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Is Gridlock back because you've alienated Joe Bruno so much?
Well, we'll have to see. It will be. We have laid out an agenda, and every day I'm saying to the Senate, come back, pass WICS reform, pass the bills that are there to capital investment. I'm hoping the Senate will come back and participate as a partner.
Governor Spitzer on the show last month, and earlier this week, we took stock of the governor's tumultuous first year in office, both in terms of policy and the Troopergate affair. One of the conclusions of that segment was that Spitzer had racked up a good number of policy accomplishments in his first 6 months, but that was slowed to a crawl by a new gridlock in Albany that resulted from Spitzer deeply alienating Senate Majority Leader Joe Bruno, the target of the apparent Troopergate plot. But since it does take two to do a gridlock tango, we will follow up on our Spitzer discussion now on a follow-up Friday segment by getting two views of Joe Bruno and what New Yorkers might expect of him going into the new year. Back with me first is a major Bruno critic, Village Voice columnist, investigative reporter, and senior editor Wayne Barrett. He was part of the Spitzer discussion, too. Hello again, Wayne.
Hi, Brian.
First, on Troopergate itself, do you accept the generally held belief that Joe Bruno was basically an innocent victim of a plot in Spitzer's office to smear him by setting up a story about his state helicopter use, which everyone knew was actually technically legal?
No, I don't. I think, you know, we still have a state ethics commission, now they call it the Public Integrity Commission, looking at it. And I have some confidence in that body headed by John Furyk, and maybe they'll sort out all the facts in a new and different way. But based on the facts that have been established by the tainted Cuomo report, which is certainly the way I see it, and the facts that we generally know, and certainly the report issued by the District Attorney of Albany, Soares, I think it's fairly clear that there was a minimal attempt to do what is commonplace in politics, which was to facilitate a news story published by the Albany Times Union that was critical of Bruno's use of the helicopters. I think that might be a public good.
But on the use of the helicopters, because really we're talking about Bruno now and not so much Spitzer, the ideal is one thing, but the law seems to be that Bruno could use state helicopters for political trips as long as there was some state business conducted, even a token amount. Do you disagree?
Well, I certainly think that's a ridiculous standard, but you're right that that appears to be the standard that was generally adopted. I think even the Cuomo report found that there was the most minor state business. That's their term. On some of these trips, and what I established...
Right, I don't think that's disputed at this point.
Yeah, well, what I established, and I think in my story, I don't think it's ever been challenged by anybody in the story that I did on it, is that there were a couple of these trips, one definitively established and one strongly suggested, that had solely a political purpose that Cuomo never looked at, which was in two of these instances, he stayed overnight, and in one of the instances, he had no meetings whatsoever, state or private, the next morning.
So you're alleging that they
were... the overnight stay, which resulted in a second helicopter having to fly down from Albany to pick him up and bring him up there, the cost of that trip was totally attributable to political purposes because the fundraiser was in the evening. He decided to stay overnight at the hotel after the fundraiser. His last business meeting was in the middle of the afternoon. He clearly, I think, violated even the limited, I mean, I think extremely limited regulations that apply.
But let me play you a clip, because even Governor Spitzer himself is cited in the Albany DA's report as having told his aides that the law was too porous to go after Bruno on this, and he didn't deny that when I asked him about it here last month. Listen, the report from the Albany DA said, in effect, that you were personally opposed to going after Bruno over helicopter use because the law was porous enough that his fundraising trips with a little bit of official business were legal. But the DA said your staff did it anyway. Can you confirm that version of events?
Look, the Soares report speaks for itself, and I'm simply not going to get into I read it when it came out, haven't looked at it since, and whatever he said I'm sure is accurate. But I also do recall that this was in response to media requests, and you know, I think you guys appreciate transparency with the media is something that I believe in, we believe in. That's why we're webcasting all the public meetings that are open to the public, and we're doing everything we can to be open to you and other members of the media.
So he didn't deny that version of events. Any reaction to that real quick, Wayne?
I think it's absolutely commonplace, and I don't think it's anything wrong with a government official if he thinks there might be. And obviously Elliot Spitzer is saying he wasn't the one who made this decision, but he also clearly isn't saying, I told people you can't possibly release this story. I don't or facilitate in any way the compliance of a Freedom of Information request that might make a story possible. It's clear he didn't order them not to comply with a FOIL request. But, you know, to me, I don't see anything fundamentally wrong with that. I think they certainly could have handled this better. I'm not exactly sure which way they would have handled it that might have been better, but probably they could have handled this better. They certainly could have handled it better once it's emerged as a so-called scandal.
So getting back to Bruno, with, you know, the context of that there, that the governor didn't deny that it was his opinion that Bruno technically was not in violation of the law. Bruno is under investigation for something entirely different as well that could come to a head in 2008, isn't he?
Yes. I mean, this is really one of the terrible things is we are constantly on this question every day, and yet the second most powerful man in Albany is engaged in all kinds of conflicts of interest. And nobody ever seems to ask a question about it. Why? Because he refuses to answer any. I mean, the recent revelations that the New York Times published about the fact that he is kind of indirectly being subsidized by the very unions who have public business before him because he's a consultant to a pension advisor, this was a one-day story and it disappears. I remind you that a year ago today, it may not be today, it was mid-December, of 2006, he called a press conference to announce that he was under investigation by the U.S. Attorney in the Northern District of New York and the FBI. He didn't even announce this till after he had been reelected as the majority leader for a two-year term. He did it a couple of days after, so that when the senators who reelected him as majority leader, they had no idea. He had known since the spring.
So what is alleged here, or what are they investigating exactly that Bruno may have done?
Investigating, I mean, layer upon layer of conflict of interest. If there was a state ethics commission that could actually investigate a legislative leader, they would have already issued a report on Joe Bruno, even if there aren't crimes here that the federal prosecutor can't discover, because the ethical violations are absolutely crystal clear. He was a partner with two lobbyists who had matters in front of him in a real estate venture. He purchased property from another state contractor. I mean, the list goes on and on. He recruited an investor in this one of these real estate deals to bail out his son who wanted to get out of the deal. He recruited an investor who had two straight grants that he had given him through the discretionary budget. He gave a $500,000 grant to his own consulting client. I mean, the allegations about Bruno's conduct are so stark that why the Northern District hasn't indicted him, I say to you that the Albany Times Union published the story way back in June saying that the FBI white-collar unit had made up its mind that it had enough evidence to indict him, and no indictment has occurred. Now, we do know that there are certain problems with the Justice Department. The United States Attorney, who's supposed to have been investigating this, has just been nominated by Bush for a federal judgeship, and other United States attorneys, including the one in the state of Washington, said that this United States attorney, the one who's supposed to be investigating Bruno, Glenn Subody, was one that got all kinds of pressure from the Justice Department.
So, are you say what about? You mean in the U.S. attorney's firing era? Do you have any evidence that a federal prosecutor, a U.S. attorney, is taking a dive on prosecuting?
No, and I'm not accusing him of it. I'm saying two things. This is what I'm saying. We have something called the Legislative Ethics Commission. Bruno and Silver appoint the members of it. It has never found any unethical conduct by any member of the state legislature. It is totally in the pocket of the state legislature. Why is the press not demanding that at least these ethical issues be dealt with by the Legislative Ethics Commission?
We're going to get a view from a supporter of Mr. Bruno, another Republican member of the state Senate, Dean Scalos, in just a minute. But on a policy level, Wayne Barrett from the Village Voice, you said the other day that Spitzer had made some gains in changing Albany, new election funding formula, property tax cut, bunch of other things, but that the progress came to a halt when Troopergate hit. Play that out for us a little bit politically. How did Troopergate affect policymaking in a concrete way, and what is Joe Bruno's role in that?
Well, Joe Bruno is the second most powerful man in Albany, and he has literally refused to do business with this governor using Troopergate as an explanation. I don't know how long he can continue to exploit that through another election year. I mean, if there is no indictment, if there's no critical ethics commission finding, how long can he drag this out as a rationale to do no business with a new governor? But he seems to have brought Albany to an absolute crawl, if not a complete shutdown, over the question of whether or not the governor of the state of New York played some role in releasing his helicopter records. And I mean, the absurdity of it, I think, is transparent.
Wayne Barrett, Village Voice columnist, thank you very much.
Thank you.
And now, an ally of Joe Bruno, Republican State Senator Dean Skelos of Long Island.
Good morning.
Senator, welcome back to WNYC. Merry Christmas to you. And how do you assess Joe Bruno's role in policymaking this year before and after the Troopergate story broke? First of all, you heard what Wayne Barrett just said. In his opinion, it's unconscionable at a policy level, at a service to the people of New York level, that because he's angry at the governor for, you know, maybe playing a political dirty trick on him, that policy would grind to a halt.
Well, I think he's wrong, and I'll use one immediate example concerning racing and the extension of the franchise for Saratoga, Belmont, and Aqueduct. Senator Bruno has called for leaders meeting in public. There may be a sense of distrust with the governor, but what Joe has said is, I will have leaders meetings in public, and the governor up to this point has refused to meet with him. As a matter of fact, the governor last year during the budget negotiations admitted that it was probably the least transparent budget negotiations in years, despite the fact that he rode his white horse in as Mr. Transparency and Mr. Reform. Now, what I think is offensive to people with Troopergate is the fact that the governor and his the individuals around him use the state police to get this information. They use the superintendent of police.
But I don't want to debate that again right now. Let's assume that as a given.
Okay, fine.
The question is, assuming that is a given, what is then the responsibility of the state Senate majority leader, even if he was a victim of that, to go forward with policy nonetheless? Almost every commentator in the state, even those who are very, very harshly critical of the governor, say, okay, the payback has been Bruno gumming up the works on substantive policy.
No, I don't believe that. And for example, the governor was complaining about appointment confirmations. We've just about confirmed every individual that the governor has sent up. The Senate. One of the governor's priorities is expanding the DNA database. I've sponsored that legislation in the past. We've passed the governor's program bill. We passed a revised version, and the assembly has refused to pass it. And I can go on and on in other types of legislation.
Well, let me play you a clip of the governor. We aired this earlier, but this is the governor on this program last month talking about the gridlock.
Right.
My question starts it. Is gridlock back because you've alienated Joe Bruno so much?
Well, we'll have to see. It will be. We have laid out an agenda, and every day I'm saying to the Senate, come back, pass WICS reform, pass the bills that are there to capital investment. I'm hoping the Senate will come back and participate as a partner.
So there's a list of policy issues on which he says the Senate is not participating as a partner. People look at campaign finance reform. A core, clean up Albany, reform Albany agenda item where they were on the verge of an agreement this summer just before Troopergate, and Bruno pulled out of that. So there's stuff there, right?
Well, I mean, there are things that can be accomplished that we want to accomplish, but the governor has to understand, and I think sometimes he's a little bit too temperamental to understand that the art of politics is one of compromise. There are 212 elected officials within the legislature. And we're elected to represent our people. And the governor basically has taken the approach that I don't need the legislature. I'll rule by executive order. I'll rule by regulations. And the heck with you. And that's not the way government operates. He's no longer a prosecutor. He is a chief executive who is supposed to go and try to achieve consensus.
So what do you and Senator Bruno see as your top legislative priorities and reform priorities for 2008?
Well, number one, let's talk about priorities. What was the governor's biggest priority this year? Giving driver's licenses to illegal aliens.
Well, wait, he would dispute that and say there were so many big priorities, many of which were accomplished in the first 6 months, changing the education funding formula, reducing property taxes, getting the Child Health Plus proposal to the federal government, that all those were much bigger than this one on driver's licenses, which happened to create a media firestorm.
We accomplished civil confinement, civil commitment. We accomplished workers' comp reform. The legislature restored some of the draconian health care cuts that the governor proposed. The governor proposed to eliminate the STAR rebate program, which helped so many people throughout the state.
So going
restored it. So if you talk about tax relief and you're looking
at that, was all before Troopergate, correct?
Some of that was, yes. But we've passed legislation to expand rebate programs for seniors, many other things. But you know, you mentioned Troopergate. What about him going to be in the dark, going to the Senate Democrat minority and saying, why don't you now start an investigation of request the IRS to start an investigation of Joe Bruno?
He denied that on the show. But even taking all of that as a given, the question now is, now what? And
the
what is your body's responsibility?
Senator Bruno is a very result-oriented person, but he will negotiate with the governor in public. So the press can be there, the public can be there, the legislature can be there.
Is that a way to get...
And that's how you will get true results, if the governor is willing to sit down at the table in public and discuss this agenda.
Dean Skelos, Republican New York State Senator from Long Island. It'll be an interesting 2008. Thank you very much.
Have a great holiday.
Thank you for coming on with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, what happens when Skid Row becomes a new glittering way? We will look at the new fate of the Bowery. Stay tuned.